We know how hard it is to talk to people about Paul. And I realized that in the first part of my experience of preaching about Paul, that I didn't say the phrase risen Christ enough, I suppose, to get that to people realize that we're still talking about Jesus Christ, but we're talking about the risen Christ. But we're going to look this morning at how people first responded to Paul when he first got started. Isn't that us? Isn't that when you try to tell somebody about Paul, it's the first time they heard it, and they don't understand it, that type of a thing. And we're going to look at how the reactions were. And it may help us understand what to expect over the next couple weeks, months, year, or whatever. It may discourage us. And I don't mean to do that. We have to remember, first of all, who he was talking to when he first got started. Right? He was talking to Jews. And they didn't like it, for obvious reasons. The second group he talked to were Gentiles. Anybody else but a Jew. And in those days, it says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Well, here we go out and we talk to Gentiles. And they're not often glad. And they don't have any intentions. There it is. Get them out. Intentions to glorify the word. Because they've had the word of God taken away from them in this country. Here's what we usually find. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So we have somebody that doesn't like what Paul has to say about the risen Savior. And you've got those people that go around stirring up things against people like you and me that want to teach about the risen Savior. So who do we try to talk to when we talk to people? Here's our list. Great commission people, great commissioners. Folks who think they need to follow Jesus' footsteps. They think they need to imitate Jesus. They need to follow his ways as taught in the Gospels, and then they won't sin. And if they do, they need to confess up. You know that story. We try to talk to people who are modern Bible users, or modern Bible readers, or modern Bible carriers, if they even do that. Sometimes we have a chance to talk to people who are very disgruntled with Christianity. The folly of today's false Christianity has made people mad against any kind of Christianity. We will try to tell people about Paul and the risen Savior to church people who have been taught to hate going to an old-fashioned, bell-ringing, old-hymn, Bible-believing church. People are taught not to go to our kind of churches anymore, especially young people. We'll talk with disgruntled Christians who think they've been burned, lied to, rejected by their preachers and pastors and the people. We will talk with disgruntled Christians who have been lied to, been burned, been rejected by preachers, pastors, and their brethren. Now, that's very true. We will talk to people who have been made to feel guilty about their sin, their life, their manner of life, their choices in life, their continued following of idols instead of the living God. We will talk to people who are guilty of following idols instead of the living God, who ought to feel guilty about their life, their choices in life. We will talk to some people who think they can escape God's judgment. They don't believe in it. We will talk to people who, believe it or not, actually despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. They don't believe that God's goodness will lead them or anyone else to repentance. We will have a chance to talk to people who cannot and will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. They won't do it. Doesn't matter if the Bible says it. It doesn't matter if Paul says it. They will not take it. And, you know, we'll talk to lost folks, what Paul says about that. We'll talk to family members. We'll talk to friends who base what you're saying on our outside testimony, not knowing what God has done to the inside. We will talk to people who will give you no honor, whatever it would be, whether it be in our own country, in America, as Paul preachers, or among your own kin, your family members, and in your own house. You will talk to people who will not want to get Paul. We will talk to those folks that are law followers. They believe in the law, whether they believe in the Old Testament law or the gospel law. We will talk to people who are gospel lovers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all they read, and that's all they follow. We will talk to people who are hung up and caught up in the book of Revelation because they're scared to death of what's going on in this nation. They know something's wrong in this world, and they're the people that will make a big thing about it. So they buy books, they buy tapes, they go to the churches that preach Revelation. And believe it or not, fairly soon we're going to go through Revelation a little bit in a rightly divided fashion. So we'll touch base on that thing. But that shouldn't be a reason to finally start coming again or anything like that. We will talk to people who want to know the truth, but they're confused. I think they still exist. I believe that we're still in the Philadelphian church era. We're at the very we're the hairs of the tail. But we're still in the Philadelphian church era, and there are still people that want to have that truth, but they're just confused or upset or deceived or something. Then we will be talking with people that are King James Bible people are falling away. They've fallen away because their pastor has taken the rightly dividing out of their Bible. Or they've done it wrong to them or whatever. They got pastors that have lifted their preaching as better than the Bible itself. And people come to hear the preaching, not what God has to say in His book in that preaching. They've had that Bible taken away because of the desire for gain. See if I can say it again. Flattering the flesh to find favor with fools. That is a huge epidemic going around America in churches. And then you've got, as I said, education. They're educating their Bible right out of their hands. King James people. We know we will be talking to people who have never heard of rightly dividing the Bible. They've never heard that, rightly dividing the word of truth. They've never heard that. We'll talk to people for what it is, they cannot grasp that whole Bible is there for us. It's all there for us. So we read it all and preach it all, but they don't understand that only some parts of that Bible are written to us. They don't get it. And how else can you better say it? And then we know that we'll be trying to talk to people or show people a testimony, even with our own family, whatever, and we know it's out of season. We're running out of growing time. Apostasy is setting in deeper and deeper and deeper. And we know that we're still in the Philadelphian church here. I believe that because why we're still here. When we're gone, I believe without any doubt, now that's when the Laodicean church age steps up and becomes what it is. And if they're not right, God will spew them out. That's, to me, the biggest thing. So let's look to Acts chapter 9. And knowing that we're going to talk to these kind of people somehow in our lives, maybe it's just one of them or whatever. Let's look at the three different testimonies that Paul gives. And let's just read them. And then let's look at the next couple verses after that and see what takes place. See if it has anything in there that we can learn from. Acts chapter 9, this is the first obvious one, the first one. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Here we go. Kids, are you ready? Because we're going to read a lot of scriptures today, so follow along as best as you can. Be thankful you don't have to stop and diagram anything or ask about the verbs and the adjectives, because I'd like to. It really does kind of make a fun thing here. But here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. You got it? Caitlin, you're getting there. I see you getting down there. There we go. Really sorry that antenna broke off your forehead, because it would help. But it'll grow back eventually there. Acts chapter 9. Here we go. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Am I right? Yep. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he was already off on a dirty deed. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling, of course, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord," he knew right away, who's he talking to, "what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. No man. Nobody. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight." Now Mark called me last night and said, "Do you realize that the street that Paul lived on was called Straight?" Right away, he makes the crooked straight. All these verses kept popping in there in Isaiah and Matthew and things like that. And yet Mark called back and said, "Do you realize that all the other verses talk about the word straight is S-T-R-A-I-T? It isn't just the straight, the crooked being made straight." And he wrote a Bible study. He wrote a short little sermon study on that, on what the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, means. It's very interesting. Another time. Which is called straight, "and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." At least he was at a house on straight. Look at it that way. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel." So what I want you to get this morning is the fact that not all the details of his beginning and everything, but the fact that he was chosen, and then see what it was he was told to do. We've got three different accounts of this thing. It ends up, it's just spectacular if people would just see this is the man we're supposed to follow the risen Savior. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." There's what he preached when he started, that he was the Son of God. That's a gospel message right there. He's talking to Jews. They had to believe that. "But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." He had to use the Old Testament scriptures too, right? Of course, what else did he have? "After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." So here's our first thing. When Paul, who was given what he was given, and wanted to tell people, knowing who he was talking to, think of who you try to talk to, and think of the rut that they're in, or the law that they're trying to follow, or the Great Commission they're trying to follow, or whatever it is the issue is there, what do they want to do to him? They wanted to kill him. "But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him." Do you know that I go through grocery stores and stores in this town, wondering who I'm going to find around the corner? Do you have that feeling? Isn't that something? They're looking to kill you. And they give you, I've had it happen at the post office in different places, and they're friendly, but boy, you're walking out, you can feel the knife going in the back. For years, I'm back in New York, the whole thing. Maybe it's just you. Maybe. But now they're looking at Paul, looking at the grace God has given us, looking at the fact that there's not even any law there to accuse us of. Same thing. Want to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to him to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them that how he had, here we go now, had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Proof. Okay? And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You know what these churches that Paul told Timothy that you're supposed to teach my ways and all the churches, that churches would have rest? They would. Well, they lose probably about 95% of the people, but there'd be a rest there because they're getting a hold of truth. Rightly divided King James Bible, they'd have rest. Where's our rest? Do we have rest? What's going on in this country? So there's some examples right there in Acts chapter 9, 1 to 31. They want to kill him. They were amazed. I noticed up there that Paul, he actually knew that they didn't like him. The disciples didn't believe that he was a disciple kind of a guy. He wasn't a good man at all. The churches had rest. The church was ratified. They walked in the fear of the Lord. Not in a God's going to kill you fashion, but still the fear of the Lord. Churches walked in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and the churches were multiplying. But boy, they wanted to kill him. Okay, let's go to Acts 26. King Agrippa. He gets a chance to talk to King Agrippa. Remember who you tried to talk to this to. Who do you try to tell people that you're a Christian, that you go to Touche Baptist Church, and you don't even want to tell them you go to King James Bible Church of Touche? It's too long, it's kind of radical, and it's enough. Aren't you Baptist anymore? All this kind of stuff. Or you want to tell them about, we follow Paul. Who? Paul. What? You know? Is he still there? That kind of a thing. Well, let's look at what Paul dealt with, Acts chapter 26. Let's go down to verse 12, just for part of the story here. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority, he's telling this king that, you know, I'm happy to tell you, king, I'm so excited about this. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here we go again. More details, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So Jesus is going to appear unto Paul and tell him more things. Those are the things that Paul teaches us in his epistles. I know you know this, but I have to do this anyway. That's what I get paid to do. And I want you to be able to tell this to people. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When you read that, do you remember verses now that you've read in Ephesians and Colossians and all the things that Paul has taught to you? When you read some of this stuff, he's doing his job with us. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. There's the purpose of what we follow Paul for. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. There it is again. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Isn't that amazing? And yet, there was one thing that was never mentioned. Right? The mystery. That was never hinted back in there at all. It was kept hidden all ages. So what Paul is doing is he's talking to these people, using the Old Testament scriptures, that this is their Jesus, and he's risen now. Didn't have a King James Bible yet. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, here we go, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me, this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Ah, way to go, Paul. So what do we have there? We have people that want to kill him again. We had somebody call him a nutcase. Nutso. Mad. Then we had somebody who understood the scriptures, but he just couldn't quite believe it. Almost. Almost. And then at the very end, because he was arrested to be punished, they knew he didn't do anything wrong, but they just couldn't let him go. Couldn't do it. So when you talk to people, hopefully your testimony is one that is believable. And they want to believe, but they just can't quite do it. And they think what you have to say is really marvelous. Like Pete says, it's just too simple. It's just too simple. So they just won't quite let you be accepted. Good stuff. Well, I wish that were to be true, but I just can't quite believe it. And they'll look to you like, you know, that's good stuff, but you're still nothing. No, you. I can't let you go. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So we have that example from King Agrippa. Let's go to Acts chapter 21 for another one. Now, this thing is set up because he's having troubles with the people, naturally. Acts chapter 21, verse 27. So Paul's been talking to people. Now he says here, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him, that's Paul, in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him, not in a spiritual fashion, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. See what they're upset about? Paul, this guy's coming along. So listen, this guy's against the law. This guy's against this temple building. This guy's against everything. And he's even brought some of these people in here. What is that? For they had seen him before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesians, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came into the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, and he got him out of there. Look at verse 40. And when had given him license, because Paul wanted to talk to these people. Look at verse 39. I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Let me talk to somebody. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, here's what he said, chapter 22. Here we go. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Isn't it amazing that they're listening? I mean, here's all these people, they're mad. And he puts his hands up, you know, and he's standing on the stairs, no pulpit, no fancy lights, no orchestra, no band, no nothing like that. And he says, can I talk to you? And everybody's quiet. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. We'll talk about that supposed contradiction. There's not a contradiction there at all. Later. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go unto Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. Now here's another marvelous verse. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one. He'll see him and see that just one, capital J, capital O, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now there it is again. We are supposed to learn about the risen Savior through Paul. Is it doubtful? To anybody, they hate it. They just don't get it. And then we see in verse 16, And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Wow. And yet Paul says what? I didn't come to baptize. So if you're going to get your sins washed away, why isn't Paul here to baptize and wash your sins away? Paul doesn't teach that baptism washes their sins away, yet this is what was said when he was first on the spot. Isn't that amazing? And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Isn't that something? That's the Lord talking. Really, you know. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them which believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew me. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Boy, look at yourself. Look at who you are. And God's, and you say, Listen, Lord, no, I'm a da da da. I'm da 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 da. I've been da 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 da. I'm doing this. I'm da 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 da. And he says, Go out there and tell people about me, the risen Savior. And we do it through a Bible, a rightly divided Bible, through Paul. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. Well, here we go. Verse 22, it gets better. And they gave him audience unto this word. Then they stopped. And lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Now, remember what you thought just now? Knowing what you know what Paul has taught, knowing what Jesus has taught Paul to do, knowing your King James Bible, knowing that things rightly divided, and you've read and learned the things that Paul has taught us about the law, about grace, about forgiveness, about the manner of life, about peace and the whole thing. Would you say, Paul, you're nuts. I don't believe this stuff at all. Shut the book. You don't even deserve to live. Those books shouldn't even be in this Bible. That's the stuff we hear all the time. It's amazing. And what do we do, or people out on the website that watch these sermons and listen to them, and you watch, but listen to these sermons and see this stuff in the Scriptures, and we still find ourselves going back and ignoring Paul. And just, well, it's good stuff. I just don't get it. And we zip right back to the old stuff, just like these folks. Get rid of Paul. He doesn't belong there. Verse 23, And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, you picture this thing? Flinging the dust all over the place and socks and sandals flying. What a mess. These guys are really upset. I'm yelling again, aren't I? I don't know why I can get into that. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Well, there's a good way to find out. Let's see if the guy's telling the truth. Get in here, let's scourge the guy. And as he bound him with thongs, and Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? What? The room had to be a stop here. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest. This man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. Now, these are either yea or yeah. Yeah. Paul's okay, right? He's a down-to-earth guy. Yeah. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid. After that, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and sat before them. Then he goes on and talks about some other things. So, in that case, you've got away with him. Kill him. He's not fit to live. And the crowd goes berserk against him. And they were going to examine this guy by scourging. And he got out of it. He was not out of the scourge. I'm one of you. Are we not talking to Christians when we talk about Paul lots of times? Aren't we supposedly one of them and vice versa? So the reaction that Paul got is the same thing that we get. It's amazing. Now look at Acts 20, look at verse 11. Here's what the Lord says to Paul. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For thou, as thou hast testified me in Jerusalem, which didn't go well, right? I mean, it didn't go well. Guess what? You get to do it again in Rome. Oh, boy. He's going to be well received in Rome again. Marvelous stuff here. Well, look back at Acts chapter 9, verse 16. And when I get louder, my voice gets higher too, which I don't like, this high squeaky thing. I don't know why I come up with that either. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. For I will show unto him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Boy, is that exciting. So much for the having favor with all the people. So much with learning from Paul, flattering anybody's flesh to find favor with fools. They're rejecting the risen Savior. They're already foolish enough to reject the Savior in the first place, who they killed him themselves, and even offered through Peter, I'll come back again. Listen, we'll come back and we'll do it again. Not through the crucifixion. I'll come back again through your tribulation, but I'll still come down and be your Messiah, and they kill the preacher. So God goes on to Paul and chooses the worst of the bunch and goes out there. And you would think the one that would hurt the Gentiles the most would be accepted by the Jews. But it was just the opposite. They hated the guy. They didn't want to hear it. You mean to tell me that you guys don't want to believe? I saw you believe that he was the Christ. And we learned that. But to think that he's against the law, he's against this building, against this temple, and he's going to go off to the Gentiles with this stuff? Who does he think he is? Away with him. Here's all these churches growing all over America. Thousands of people flocking to these great mega churches. And they got this happy Jesus, they got this psychologically sound Jesus, they've got this pretty Jesus, they've got this long-haired and kissy-mouthed, and he's just a sweet, loving Jesus. And you come along and tell them about this risen Savior that actually walked the walk, fulfilled the law, and was bloodied and tortured, and all you have to do is trust and believe and trust in him and put your faith in him, and he will give you that righteousness that he has made. He'll make you the righteous. He'll do all these marvelous things, and they want to shut you up. And they want to shut me up. They want to get rid of the only Bible that teaches that and has taught that for 400 years. Suddenly these new Bibles have something else in them. Yes, they do. They have the words of the Antichrist in those Bibles. And people are being set up for another Jesus who's about to come back, and it's looking closer. It's just not looking good out there. To them, it's looking great. I mean, the money's going to go poof, and they're going to come up with a new system. Religion's gone to poof, and they're going to come up with a world one. Everything's just, it's just coming. And this is not a welcome message. I mean, we're full today because somebody came up from the Spokane and took up half the church. Amen. We like that when they come in here. We probably should split them up into at least three pews and we'll all be crowded. But they don't want to hear this stuff. Are your kids going to want to hear from this stuff? Are your kids going to really understand what Paul's purpose is? And see what it is that he teaches in the Bible that's to us? And understand all the stuff that's there for us? Look at Acts 23. And how about you? Are you about ready to quit? Are you getting tired of it? Have you heard what you've heard and you got doubts coming out of your ears and you don't know what to believe anymore? And how can this be? And, oh, why can't we just have a church full of happy people with potlucks every 3 weeks? Hey, when I first got here, we had potluck every Sunday. Remember that? Your potlucks were absolutely spectacular. We had one every Sunday for a while. I think that was before you came. Because I had this wife today. Why should we fix anything? These people just, oh, their food is great. Potatoes and pea stuff, you know, the pea cream stuff, you know, and the, oh, and, you know, what'd you bring today? Don't tell me. Can't we have it that way again? I don't know. Can't you have your savings back for those that lost it? Can't we go back to 25 cents a gallon? Can't we go back to cars that weigh 4,000 pounds? You shut the door, it sounds like, you know, you're in your car. And you got metal dashboards, tell your kid to sit down. No seatbelts, a strap up, and beep, 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 and you get into the car, get that one fixed, beep, beep, another beep's going off, and the door's open somewhere. Well, if you're dumb enough to not shut your door, you ought to fall out of the car. It won't happen again. I mean, America used to be different. You know? Gosh, thanks. You can't even disable your beep, beep, beeps like we used to be able to do. I can't, and maybe you still can. You guys could probably figure it out. I'm kind of glad, though, that the gas thing beeps. That's a good one. And the key is still in the ignition. That's another good one. But then again, we used to be able to slap a key underneath the car because it was a metal car. So we didn't care if we locked our keys in the car. Let's go back to that. We're not going to go back to that. Let's go back to where we actually had some numbers in the savings. That was exciting. We're not going to go back to that. It's going to get hard. Look at Acts chapter 23, verse 12. I'm shouting again, Jimmy. Tell me to settle down. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. I mean, these guys are determined. They get on the internet and they get onto that thing and they come into our, try to come into our room. I don't know if they still do anymore, Sam, because we blocked all their texts. We can't tell. You Paul guys, here's a bunch of stuff. Islam, they're determined to preach against the Paul stuff. They're out there all over the country. And 13, and they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. They talk about conspiracies. This is a conspiracy against Paul. Against the King James Bible, rightly dividing Bible, risen Christ. There's a conspiracy against all that. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." Now there's a diet. There's some folks out there that could lose a lot of weight if they quit eating until they get rid of what we're preaching here. People are going to continue their willful, on purpose, ignorance of a rightly divided King James. They're going to continue that thing. They're going to look for your halting. They're going to look for you to trip up. And listen, you're going to trip up. I am going to trip up. And they're going to jump all over that thing. There are people out there that will still not believe a thing you say because they watch you. And you have not turned from idols unto a living God as much as they think you should. They see that we have a compromise, and they don't see anything different in some of the Paul-following people as them. I get on the websites, their music isn't any different. They're all about grace. Modern Christians are all about grace. There's no difference anymore. People will see that these people don't live what they believe. The money won't be there like it used to be. Expenses are going to mount up more and more. Just the wear and tear in the building, the roofs, all this stuff, the whole thing. People will find an excuse to not help financially. The devil will continue the hunt for the weak ones to try to take down Paul, to try to take down the Bible, to try to take down this church, to try to take me down, try to take you down. The devil will continue with that. Life itself, ourselves, and the devil will cause doubt and discouragement, dismay and disappointment, and it'll give us the doldrums. I still like alliteration. It's what's going to happen. We'll have doubts about discouragement. We'll be discouraged. We'll be dismayed. We'll be disappointed. And we'll walk around with the doldrums. We know that government involvement is going to increase. The United Nations is trying to get... Our country is now talking. We need to go to the United Nations to solve these things. And the United Nations hates our church. They hate this Bible. They hate guns. They hate people like us. The King James Bible will become so hated it will become illegal. You watch. There will be a shame of the testimony of Jesus Christ and Paul. Remember, the testimony of Jesus Christ is not only the Old Testament. It's not only the Gospels. It's not only the tribulation and the second coming. It's the risen Savior, what He did through Paul. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ that people are not hearing. There will be an increase of ungodliness because it only comes about by wrongly dividing, profane and vain babblings. There will be continued confusion for the Christian people of what godliness really is. They're going to think more and more that certain things make you godly, one of them being gain. My wife made a comment the other day. We were looking at, I guess, be careful with this. We were just talking about some things we know from our people in our past. And it seems like those folks that used to be strong, I'll have to take this out. Those folks that were strong Christians at one time, that either them or their children are more worldly and more immodest than regular people in the world. We're seeing college pictures and graduation pictures, and we're seeing activities that are going on, and they're worse than the world. It's like the girls get tired of being covered all their life, and they get a chance, boop, there it goes. And you see these pictures of these kids in the college books, thunk, 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 there's the Christian, boop, hardly dressed, everybody else is covered. It's amazing to notice things like that today. It's the Christians that are getting confused and falling apart and being pushed away. The risen Christ followers through Paul's gospel will compromise more and more. We get tired of fighting. We get tired of being covered up. We get tired of not talking like we used to. We get tired of having to hold back our laugh because it's so loud and disruptive. We get tired of this stuff that Paul teaches. We get tired of sound doctrine. And we'll compromise because it's easier around the home. It's cheaper. It costs money to be proper as a Christian today. Clothes, the foods, the places you should go, the places you don't go. It's an expensive thing. It's going to get worse. So Paul-following Christians are going to compromise more and more. Grace will increase. What's wrong with that? Well, in place of sound doctrine, it's still abusing grace. And just more and more are not going to endure sound doctrine. They will not. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that just good news? Oh boy, our kids are going to grow up and they're going to be in such of this tech stuff and all these gadgets that we can get our mom and dad get. What kind of gadgets am I going to have? You mean they can probably put it in my hand and I can text and I can type just by thinking? Oh, that's cool, Dad. And they can be able to do that. And I can just, listen, I can just go by, I can just, I can have that thing, like that, or whatever you want, wherever you have it put. That's what they'll be taught. And it'll make so much sense. I'm tired of this cash card, I'm tired of cash. You guys had to carry little round things around in your pockets to buy stuff? How horrible that thought must be. And they had to be different sizes. Took me months to learn all those different sizes. I remember that when I was taught at home. Oh, you'll think I was taught at home. Sure glad we got those laws passed. I was taught terribly. Oh, it's just gone to pot. What do we do with them? Well, just listen up here. There are those that will still continue with the belief of the truth. Paul talks about that. There are those still who are seeking truth. They know something's wrong. Stand fast, Paul says, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Pray that the word of the Lord will have free course. That's your Bible. As your kids, as you read through your Bible, pray that that Bible says what it needs to say and people get it. I'm kind of still amazed that when I first got here, all I got to do is read a Bible and talk about it? Well, I'm King James Bible. This won't be all that difficult because this is a King James church. And we'll just walk up here and roof and they'll go, whoa, and this will be, and we have potlucks and shooting activities, and oh, we'll just have a, I can't imagine people in town don't want to hear this stuff. And now I know you read your Bibles, and I know we all read through something that tells us we shouldn't be doing, and we still do it. I mean, that's, we know that. And I sit down at the end of a Sunday with some sermons, I wonder, now, what are we going to do next week? I already got a thought. One is tradition. Talks about traditions there. I forgot the other one. I'll probably think of it later. What are we going to talk about Wednesday? We're going to talk about tonight. They've read the Bible. They say they're Bible readers. Why do I have to talk about anything? Can they not read their own Bible? And What, I got to get to be the cheerleader here? Not doing very good, am I? I can come up with a couple of rah-rahs and sis booms, but it just doesn't seem, makes everybody mad when I get involved. You know? Pray that the word of the Lord shall establish up and keep us, establish us and keep us from evil. Because that verse says that Jesus will establish us and keep us from evil. You know how he'll do that? He'll keep your children from evil if they read their Bible and believe it. Jesus isn't going to put this magic thing around your children and keep them from doing evil. I think you've probably all discovered that by now. Isaiah, Isaac and Jed, I had to write them down. I don't know how you remember your kids. Isaac and Jed, they probably haven't done anything wrong yet. They're the boys, and they're following Dad. So there's that. And the girls, you've all been, you're probably already deceivable, and you're already having emotional fits, and you don't know what to do with life, and the whole thing is you're following your mother. But the boys, no, these boys, they have it together. Because, Dad's home, and the boys go, good. You know? Isaac says, Dad, what'd you bring home from the forest today? And the girls go, oh boy, we get to fix another squirrel. And they just get there, fix this thing all up, and then they have a great time. And Jared and Scott are back there going, I tell you, honey, we did such a good job with our children, didn't we? Wait a minute, something happens in there. Something happens to them. The Bible will do this today. Remember that we will labor and suffer reproach if we're going to teach about the living God. Devil doesn't care about these preachers and people that are going to teach about the dead God, the unknown God. He doesn't want people to know about the living God. Your kids need to learn about the living God. Remember in our day and age, the big thing in the 60s was God is dead? Remember all that? Even I, as a Lutheran, knew something was wrong with that. Just, it doesn't seem right. They went on with their merry way in Minnesota there. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And he's talking to Timothy. So is Timothy not written to us? Well, it's just written to Timothy. That's written to us, because he's going to teach that to us. It's written to us. Okay? Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses, have we? Keep that which is committed to thy trust. It's our Bible. Avoiding profane and vain babblings, wrong dividing. And oppositions of science, falsely so called. Skip it when it comes up in your schedule. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. We have people that have erred concerning the faith. And they're teaching our children. They're pastoring in churches. They're your friends. They're your workers. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Not angry, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And then if you have time, I encourage you to read Titus chapter 3 all by yourself, just all by yourself, short little chapter. Read it to your kids if they don't read very well. But read Titus chapter 3 sometime today, and that will complete the sermon if you do that. So Paul started off with marvelous stuff, but he was not well received. He finally went to the Gentiles only. And here we are today, Gentiles only, and they're just as grumped out about it as the Jews were. Kind of the same plan. But that's okay. Stay with it. Stand fast.